Now we're going to read from the Gospel according to Mark. Mark's Gospel and chapter 5. Verse 41. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 41. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Now chapter 7, please. Verse 32, And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. Chapter 14, please. Chapter 14, and verse number 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Now the next chapter, chapter 15. Chapter 15 of the same gospel. And verse 34. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We trust the Lord thou will add a blessing, a rich blessing, to this reading of his holy word. Four times in the Gospel according to Mark, as we have read to you, the writer interprets expressions that the readers to whom the Gospel was sent would not understand. And so he uses a very simple method by giving an immediate interpretation to these great words. On each of these occasions you will have noticed they are spoken by the Lord Jesus. Two of them to men, to manward. And two of them to God, Godward. Two in relation to blessing, in the great blessing of salvation upon the sons of men. Two in relation to his suffering. One in the anticipation of it, and the other in the actual experience of the sufferings upon the tree. These four expressions, dear friend, are very, very precious. First of all, in Mark chapter 5, the Lord Jesus says, Talitha cumi, and Mark says, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. That's a great manifestation, isn't it, of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in mighty deliverance. I don't know whether it will be an exercise to follow this through some night, but I'm very, very interested in how Mark presents this in the gospel. I believe that he's moving toward a great objective. And here is the Lord Jesus raising up a person. And he says, arise. And the young woman arose. You know, dear friend, the Lord could speak that word of life to you tonight. And would that he would do it even now. For the moment he speaks, and the moment that you hear, that very moment your soul will live. That is why we try to read the Word of God distinctly, and try to read it carefully, for it is in itself the living Word. The Word of God is living and powerful. And here is the Lord Jesus speaking those life-giving words. And you know, friend, if he were to speak to you tonight, you would live. He would remove from you the penalty, the consequences of your sin. The Bible tells you that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And tonight, dear friend, if you were to hear that life-giving word, it would be the greatest blessing your soul could ever experience. But what I'm thinking about tonight is this lovely example. For it's wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Nothing sweeter than to be near him and to hear him. And to observe how he brings people, men and women and boys and girls, into the immediate good of his divine power and blessing. And you know, I want to use the lovely passage we have read tonight as illustrating in wondrous detail how the Lord can reach a precious soul. Here is a story in Mark chapter 7 of a dear man who has a physical malady, a physical weakness. Of course, we will understand that the mind of God is this, that as we look at the physical weakness and these conditions that mark the sons of men, they are but pictures. They are but lessons. They are but messages that tell you and me of the tremendous effect of sin, not only upon the body, but also upon the soul. And I look upon these as examples of what God and what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for you tonight in this gospel meeting, stricken with sin, facing its consequences eternally, and needing a Savior that will deliver you from sin, its present power, its ultimate penalty, and deliver you from its presence eternally. And I want you to see the Lord at work. I would love to understand it in this way, and like you to grasp the spirit of my thought, and it is this. It says, and they bring unto him. They bring unto him. Is it lovely to see, even in that day, as in the present meeting, there were those that had a burden for the oppressed. There were those that had a conscious desire to see their fellow men and women brought to the Savior. And isn't that why friends have brought friends tonight to the meeting? Isn't that why we are on our knees night by night praying, and there's plenty of room for more, may I say? And especially younger men. Don't mind me saying that. I'm just a little bit surprised there are so few younger brethren attending the prayer meeting. That's just by the way. But I want just to get that over. But nevertheless, here were those, and they brought this man, and they put him in touch with Christ. That's what we want to do tonight, friend. And long before you came to the meeting, and all through the day, in this very meeting tonight, and in many other places in this large land, there have been people praying that you may be brought into contact with Christ tonight. And they bring him. They brought this man to the sea. They have one purpose in doing so, that he may put his hand upon. Oh, friend, if the Lord were to put his hand upon you today, that would be blessing instantaneously. That would be salvation immediately. Just to be sitting in a gospel meeting, as many have done, and trust the Savior, the Lord put his hand upon you. That's why they brought him to the sea. Now I want you to see what the Savior did. It says that he took him aside from the multitude. He took him aside from the multitude. Isn't that very simple? You know, God doesn't save en masse. Hope you know that. God saves individuals. And while many may trust the Savior, people are saved by the grace of God individually. For salvation is a personal experience. I want you to get that. Salvation is a personal experience. It says he took him aside from the multitude. You know, friend, we pray down there in the prayer meeting. I'm going to give you our language, for it's this kind of passage that promotes the language we use in prayer. And you know what we ask? When we're on our knees in prayer for this meeting, brethren will pray to God that he'll single men out for blessing. Why do we say that? Because, friend, we want you to feel that salvation's a personal experience. God would single you out. You. I want you to feel comfortable in the meeting to the extent that you understand. But I also want you to realize, friend, that there's something intensely personal in this experience. You know what the Bible says? I give you an illustration. Two young men were walking down a street in a certain place in our Bible. And behind them was a man of God. And the man of God, Samuel, said unto one of these young men, you listening, friend, he said, bid the young man pass on. And stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. See? Here were two walking down together. For one of them, God had a message. And Samuel said, bid the young man pass off. God wanted this young man to be alone. God wanted to single him out. Not even his companion was to stand around while God was directing the message to his heart. That's what I'm after. That's what the Lord does. My brother, who's very experienced in the work of God, and many of my brethren likewise in the meeting tonight, will testify of hearing of souls saying this. I felt in the meeting that the preacher was preaching at me. Many a soul has said, I'm not going back to that meeting because someone must have told the preacher all about me. The preacher knew nothing about me. But the preacher was using words that were winged home by the Spirit of God, and God was singling the person out, and they felt that the preacher was preaching at them. See, that's what God was doing. He's taking them aside from the multitude, friend. That he might close their ears to every other voice. That their eyes may be, as it were, blinded to every distraction. And in the presence of God, they may realize it's me God is speaking. I want you to feel that tonight. The Spirit of God would single you out from this company. and would have you feel that you're just the only sinner in the gospel meeting needing God's salvation, and that the message is for you, and for you alone. And it would be wholesome, friend, if you felt a particle of that in the gospel meeting. That's the first step the Lord did. He took him aside. Here's another number of men walking down the street. And it's the same name of the man that I spoke about before. And suddenly there was a voice from heaven. And the voice cried, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And you see, friend, there were others in that company. But there was only one who heard the message. The Lord singled that man out. And Saul on the Damascus Road tells us exactly how it happened. And he knew, friend, it wasn't those men around that the living Christ was addressing. He knew it was. He knew. And friend, it would be great if you knew it in the meeting tonight. I'd love to quote, I haven't time. Ephesians, when God directs his voice and he cries, "Samuel, Samuel." Hey, no doubt about it. Another occasion he cries, "Moses, Moses." Moses doesn't have to look round and see if there's someone else God is addressing. He knows it's him. And you say, "Well, does the Lord speak like that still?" Oh, I think he does, friend. I'm sure he does. These double names that are so blessed seven times in our Bible, when I come to the New Testament and I read John's Gospel, 25 times I read these words, "Verily, verily, verily, verily. I say unto thee." See? I want to tell your friend, as a sinner in the Gospel meeting tonight, the Lord has a personal word for you. Well, you need a personal salvation. What else did he do? It says he put his fingers into his ears. As if to direct. As if to indicate. As if to stress. That the Lord knew the area of his greatest need. You don't mind me saying this, friend. I don't want to be unkind. My brother would reprimand me in the home tonight in private. You notice we have no music here. Notice that. There's no music. You notice we don't blow any bugles. You notice we don't play any drums. If we thought you needed entertainment for God's salvation, friend, we have plenty. That's not the area of your need. Got that? That's not the area of your need. You don't need entertainment. But we're not offering entertainment. Pardon me. You see, the Lord Jesus took his finger and he put it in the man's ears. The Lord knew exactly what he needed. I want to tell you, friend, salvation's a real experience. A real experience. It touches you where you need it most. Where's that? That's in your soul. And you need salvation tonight. And because you need salvation, these two simple, fragile, frail mortals on the platform try to use the time as profitably as possible to get this message over to your heart that you need salvation. And that's what we're preaching every night. And that's why we have it cut down to a very simple, simple meeting, friend.
so that the area of your greatest need will become manifest to your soul. But you'll realize that we're not here for education. But you'll realize that we're not here for all the things that the world can offer. We are here for something that God alone can provide, and that is salvation. It's a real. What else did the Lord do? It says he spit and touched his tongue. Good old friend, the moment that you trust the Lord Jesus, you will be born again. The moment that you trust the Lord Jesus, a divine work will be wrought in your soul. And whether you know it or not at this moment, you will know it in reality that it will express itself dramatically, radically, practically in your life. For salvation's a radical experience. Ever seen a man's tongue touch? I have. Ever seen a man's life touched by the grace of God? Man, I know men, and many. You wouldn't have heard them, you couldn't have stood in their company without listening to the most foul language. And you know, I have seen those very men saved by the grace of God. And the first area in which it was manifested was this. Their very tongue was touched. Wasn't it? Their tongue was touched. You see, salvation's radical. There's nothing goes deeper into a person's experience than the salvation of God. No. And I'm going to finish in a moment. I'm going to tell you why this is directly important here. Well, let's get to the next part. He took him aside, put his fingers in his ears, he spat and he touched his tongue, and then it says, looking up to heaven. The Lord didn't need to look up to heaven to heal the man. Now, you know that. But we're just watching the Savior at work. What's he doing there? Is he not directing this man's eyes to the source, if you like, the origin of salvation? Where's it come from? It comes from above. Salvation's a spiritual experience. Nothing of this earth can give it to you. You could be baptized 100 times and never know God's salvation. See? You could pass through ceremonies, high and low, far and wide, and never know anything about God's salvation. You could pass through some of the most intense courses that is possible for the mind to absorb, and never know salvation. Why? That's all of earth. Salvation is of God, dear friend. It's called in the Acts of the Apostles, 5 times the word is used in that great book. And one of the times salvation is used, it's called the salvation of God. Man, I love the expression. The salvation of God. And the Lord directs this man to the source, come from above. Friend, we preach not ourselves. And we're not preaching something belonging to men. We're preaching something that comes from God. From heaven. God has given it. And it's the salvation of God. And the next thing he did was this. He sighed. He sighed. You know, friend, in a word I want to tell you kindly and lovingly, this is just an echo of the cry that we read of in chapter 15. Just an echo. The Lord senses in a soul, may I say reverently, the tremendous distance to which sin has brought a man. He's about to release him. He's about to bless him. He's about to bring him into the liberty that only Christ can give. But you know, it costs the Lord something. It says he sighed. And he's moving to the cross because he knew it's going to cost him more than just a word, a tear. And we have entered into the darkness in those words in chapter 15 when the Savior cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What a cry! The Lord Jesus on the cross paid the tremendous price for this man's sins that he's healing at this moment of time. He sighed. Or listen, friend. Salvation is not without sacrifice. The sacrifice of Christ. What did he do? He saith unto him, "Ephphatha." And that means, "Be open." Salvation's an effectual experience, friend. And this man, in a moment of time, was released from the bondage and the bitterness, the blight of sin. Do you know what it says? It says, straightway his ears were opened, and the string, that's the word I wanted tonight. You're listening, friend. The string of his tongue was loosed. I know you're not, think me irreverent. You understand, friend, there was no piece of cord around his tongue. But there was something stronger. You know, that's the word that the Lord Jesus used of another woman he loosed that we heard about in chapter 13 of Luke 1 night. "Woman, thou art loose. Thou art loose." Why? For the Lord Jesus said, "Lo, Satan has bound this woman for 18 years." That's the word. There was a bond on his heart. It was a satanic string. He was suffering from the consequences of sin, friend, in the power of the devil. And the Lord touched the string and he set him free. Thank God he's stronger than the strong man. And he's able to go into the strong man's house and bind him and set the vessels free. And that's what he's doing with this man. And friend, he can do the same thing. If only you trust him.